Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for April 11th, 2019. We're going to look once more at the very closing portion of Acts 15 and get into Acts chapter 16. Beginning in chapter 15, verse 36, we have the beginnings of Paul's second missionary journey. After a time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's return and visit the brothers in every town where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, who is called Mark, along with them, but Paul did not think it was a good idea to take him along, since he had deserted them in Pamphylia and did not continue to travel with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and set out, after being entrusted to the grace of the Lord by the brothers. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And that question, it's kind of the question, what do you do when the vicar screws up? What do you do when, like a young man training to be a pastor, makes a tremendous mistake, whether it's just a slip of the tongue or something worse? Who really knows? And here Paul and Barnabas have a difference of opinion. Paul said, I can't take him along because I can't trust him. I don't know that he's going to stick with us and be trustworthy. And if we're going to bring somebody along, he needs to be trustworthy. And Barnabas said, well, let's give him another chance. And so they end up parting ways. And God used this disagreement to probably bring the gospel to more places, because now we have two teams working in the Mediterranean area instead of just one. And of course, keeping in mind that there are 12 other apostles, or 11 other apostles, who have been entrusted with the word of the Lord. Granted, James has been martyred, and so there are 10 other apostles, but we know that these men who walked and talked with Jesus really took him seriously about the word of the Lord going to the ends of the earth. We have traditional accounts, traditional history, as to how truthful some of those are. There's a lot of truth in a lot of the tradition about the history of the apostles. Not all of it, but we have some of the apostles getting up to Russia, some getting up to Northern Europe, another apostle being martyred when somebody threw a spear at him while he was preaching in India. When we have here in the book of Acts that Paul is working in the Mediterranean, he's not the only one, just to keep that in mind. So then picking it up in chapter 16, we'll read verses 1 through 15, and be sure to check out the show notes for a map of Paul's second missionary journey. He goes up the coast of the Mediterranean, that eastern coast, up through Syria, and then over through into Turkey, Galatia, Turkey, where he had started the churches on his first missionary journey, and visits those ethnic Galatians on that first journey. So that's where we have in verse 1. Paul arrived in Derbe and in Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, who was the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, so he took him and circumcised him on account of the Jews who lived in those places, because they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled through the towns, they delivered the resolutions decided by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to keep. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number day by day. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia because they were prevented by the Holy Spirit from speaking the word in the province of Asia. When they went as far as Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul during the night. A Macedonian man was standing there urging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." As soon as he had seen the vision, we immediately made plans to proceed to Macedonia, because we concluded that God had called us to preach the good news to them. After we put out to sea from Troas, we sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there we went to Philippi, which is a leading city in that part of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We stayed in the city for a number of days. On the Sabbath day we went outside the city gate along the river, where we thought there was a place of prayer. We sat down and began to talk to the women who had gathered there. A woman named Lydia, who worshipped God, was listening. She was a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. The Lord opened her heart to pay close attention to what Paul was saying. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of our God. You might find it a little bit of a head-scratcher, perhaps even ironic, that barely a year, maybe a year and a half, after Paul had written the book of Galatians, when he goes back through that area and he enlists another young man to follow along as a vicar or as a young pastor in training, that young man is Timothy. And Timothy's father is a Greek and his mother is a Jewish woman. And Paul recognizes that, this man has a good reputation and he's got a lot of potential for being trained in the public ministry. He's always got his eye out for that. How can we multiply the ministry in a way that's careful and in a way that isn't careless, but training these men so that many more would be able to hear through more messengers, basically. But then Paul takes him and circumcises him. And you're like, wait a second, he just spent like 6 chapters in the book of Galatians saying, if you allow yourself to be circumcised, you have given up Christ, right? So what gives? Well, look at the context here. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, so he took him and circumcised him on account of the Jews who lived in those places, because they all knew that his father was a Greek. On account of the believing Jews who lived in those places, the Christian Jews. So the people of Jewish background who had been raised in the Jewish faith, but who had converted to the Christian faith. And so Paul doesn't want this young man who is now accompanying him in this ministry to in any way hinder or create a controversy with the Jewish believers back in Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. And so he has him circumcised, because circumcision in and of itself is free, and as long as it is free, it must be free, meaning it is a matter of Christian freedom whether a man is circumcised or not. And it has to remain that way. It cannot be made a condition of faith. But in freedom, Paul talks with Timothy and says, well, if you'd like to join us on this ministry, for the sake of the believers here, and maybe in context, in addition to the controversy that had kind of kicked up in the area, Paul is also making a point with Timothy that these Jewish Christians have already had their world turned upside down and shaken around by Paul coming to town, by the Judaizers coming to town, by the letter of the Galatians, by the letter from the Jerusalem Council. And Paul just said, well, this seems like the best course of action, to have Timothy be circumcised so that there's no more controversy. So they see it's okay. It's okay to be circumcised or to circumcise your own children if you are a Jewish Christian or even if you're a Gentile Christian. And there's the issue that his father is a Greek, and Timothy hadn't been circumcised. So Timothy is circumcised. He was probably knew Paul from Paul's previous missionary journey, and we know from 1 Timothy that Paul's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, or maybe it's Eunice and Lois, had raised him in the faith and had taught him from a very young age. Think of 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy is ordained for the ministry and commissioned and sent away, or sent off. And he's circumcised in order to avoid any future stumbling blocks with the Jewish people, because circumcision is a matter of freedom. But it kind of raises the question of, what do you do when a household is divided and where one is a believer and the other is not? And more often than not, it's the mother or the wife or the woman of the house who is a believer and the man of the house who is not. How do you approach that? Well, we look at the example of Timothy's family, where apparently his father is willing to let him be instructed in that faith, and he was instructed by the women in his household, by the believers in that household. But the father had apparently put his foot down when it came to circumcision. And so he wasn't circumcised in private. The question that normally comes up today is the question of baptism. Should I baptize this child in private, secretly? That's a little bit easier to to carry out, as opposed to circumcision in private takes a few days of care after the fact, especially for a young child. And so the father said, we're not going to do that. But now Timothy is apparently of age where he's recognized as at least a young adult, and he is circumcised and goes along with Paul. And the other thing to note, especially in this section, is that this is the first of the we sections, where in verse 10 of chapter 16, Luke joins the journey. But what do you do when the household is divided? Well, you are as faithful as you can be, given the circumstances. You don't do anything in secret, but you're very upfront, and the Apostle Peter talks about living in such a way that makes the teaching of our God attractive. There's that, and there's also the primary consideration before you even get into that relationship, that when a young man or a young woman is looking for a spouse to marry, that the question of faith and religion comes up sooner rather than later, that they talk about it. And it's not just pushed off to, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, we'll just let the kids decide for themselves, or we'll talk about it when we have kids. That's a recipe for disaster and a recipe for a next generation falling away. But rather, what I suggest is if a young couple is dating and they sit down and say, usually it's the woman is from a Catholic background and the man is from some sort of a Lutheran background, at least in my experience, and go through a Bible instruction class with each home congregation, with each pastor. Sure, I'll let my member go and sit through an instruction class with the local priest about what the Roman Catholic Church believes, as long as that same couple comes and commits to the same commitment to sit through a Bible instruction class on what the Lutheran Church has always taught and believed and confessed. I'd take that bet any day. Again, kind of like the same principle when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door. I give them a 5-to-1. I'll listen for 5 minutes if you let me talk for one. I'll listen for 10 minutes if you let me talk for two. I'd take that bet any day, because time with the Word of God provides clarity, and it provides comfort, and it provides guidance, and it provides an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do His work. And so that's kind of the example we have here, that the Holy Spirit had done His work in the avenues that were permitted within that family. His mother apparently didn't go against the wishes of the father, and she tried to live in such a way that made the teachings of our God attractive. And at the same time, the mother and the grandmother of Timothy did their best to instruct this young man from his youth, so that when Paul came through town, Paul recognized him as, you know, this young confirmand, perhaps 10, 12, 15 years old when he had first come through. And now when he comes through on his second missionary journey, Timothy is in his late teens, or perhaps even 19 or 20, and he's been instructed and he's suitable to come along with them on their missionary journey. And so he is circumcised as a matter of Christian freedom, not as a condition of faith. Tomorrow we'll get into the vision of the man from Macedonia, and when Paul arrives at Philippi, what to expect. But we'll save that for tomorrow, beginning in verse 11. You can find us at Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Mommy, and make sure to check out the events tab while you're there. We've got a number of events coming up, and you can register for a lot of those through the ticket link in the events. God bless your day.